chapter 22, 1 Samuel chapter 22. I'm going to be reading from verse 6. The news of his arrival in Judah soon reached Saul. At the time, the king was sitting beneath a tamarisk tree on the hill at Gibeah, holding his spear and surrounded by his officers. "Listen here, you men of Benjamin," Saul shouted when he heard the news. "Has David promised you fields and vineyards? Has he promised to make you commanders in his army? Is that why you have conspired against me? For not one of you has ever told me that my own son is on David's side. You're not even sorry for me. Think of it, my own son encouraging David to try and kill me." Then Doeg the Edomite was standing there with Saul's men, spoke up. "When I was at Nob," he said, "I saw David talking to Ahimelech the priest. Ahimelech consulted the Lord to find out what David should do. Then he gave David food and the sword of Goliath the Philistine." King Saul immediately sent for Ahimelech and all his family who served as priests at Nob. When they arrived, Saul shouted at him, "Listen to me, you son of Ahitub." "What is it, my king?" Ahimelech asked. "Why have you and David conspired against me?" Saul demanded. "Why did you give him food and a sword? Why have you inquired of God for him? Why did you encourage him to revolt against me and to come here and attack me?" "But sir," Ahimelech replied, "is there anyone among all your servants who is as faithful as David, your son-in-law? Why, he is the captain of your bodyguard and a highly honored member of your household. This was certainly not the first time I have consulted God for him. Please don't accuse me and my family in this matter, for I knew nothing of any plot against you." "You will surely die, Ahimelech, along with your entire family," the king shouted. And he ordered his bodyguards, "Kill these priests of the Lord, for they are allies and conspirers with David. They knew he was running away from me, but they didn't tell me." But Saul's men refused to kill the Lord's priests. Then the king said to Doeg, "You did it." So Doeg turned to them and killed them. 85 priests in all still wearing their priestly tunics. Then he went to Nob, the city of the priests, and killed the priests' families, men and women, children and babies, and all the cattle, donkeys, and sheep. Only Abiathar, one of the sons of Ahimelech, escaped and fled to David. When he told David that Saul had killed the priests of the Lord, David exclaimed, "I knew it. When I saw Doeg there that day, I knew he would tell Saul. Now I have caused the death of all your family, all your father's family. Stay here with me and I will protect you with my own life, for the same person wants to kill us both." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Kerry. Let's pray as we come to the Lord's word. Lord God, we praise you and thank you that your word has been given to us, Lord, to guide us, to strengthen us, to equip us for all of life and faith. So, Lord, as we turn to these scriptures, won't you work by your Holy Spirit in each of our lives, Lord, convicting us, challenging us, challenging our allegiance and our commitment to you, Lord. And guide us each in our thoughts to concentrate and yield to the Word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In this passage we meet Doeg. We saw him in the previous chapter, if you were here 2 weeks ago, in chapter 21, verse 7. "Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord. His name was Doeg, the Edomite, the chief of Saul's herdsmen." And so we had a glimpse of this character just in the previous chapter, not quite knowing what role he would play. And so as this passage unfolds, we see the focus shifts from Saul and David to Doeg and Ahimelech. One having allegiance to Saul, that's Doeg, and then Ahimelech, the priest, who would support David. And as I looked at this passage, I realized that there's a search on Doeg's side for acceptance. He's desperately wanting to be accepted. to please Saul. He wants to be promoted. And on Ahimelech's side, there's this wanting to be accepted by the Lord. And so there's this sense of almost what Darren was sharing with us in the worship, our allegiance. Where's our allegiance going to lie? Are we going to seek to please people? Or are we going to seek to please God? So I've entitled this message, Who Are You Trying to Please? And while it reached this environment, as we read it in 1 Samuel chapter 22, and ended in a terrible slaughter, it affects us also in our lives. To what extent are we trying to please people? To what extent are we yielding to God and seeking to please God primarily, to put Him first in our lives? And so initially I'd like to say that Doeg was looking for acceptance from people. He was not an Israelite, he was a Gentile, he was an Edomite, and he was a very important person to Saul. He was the chief of Saul's herdsmen. In Psalm 52 we read that he was a mighty man, but we also read that he was a person who trusted in the abundance of his riches. Trusted in the abundance of his riches in Psalm 52. That's what David said of him. That would characterize many people that you and I know in our workplace, people that we see, and just as we've been chatting to people from overseas, some people have come back, and they said there seems to be an obsession with materialism, with what people think of you in our society. So you see that Doeg was almost a typical person of our day, very materialistic, very influenced by what people think of him, and he desperately wanted to be promoted. I think when he heard Saul's words in verse 7, Hear now, people of Benjamin, will the son of Jesse, David, give every one of you fields and vineyards? Will he make you all commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds? And I'm sure his eyes lit up at the possibility of being elevated above the chief herdsman to become more and more important. And so we see that Doeg was a very ambitious person and willing to do anything to get ahead. I think he was also resentful towards Ahimelech. Sometimes the Lord deals with us and detains us. We saw in the previous chapter that he was detained before the Lord, that maybe he wanted to go back and get to building his riches, but he was detained, probably for ceremonial reasons. And he was probably resentful towards the priest. And so at the first opportunity of elevating himself, of this possibility of becoming a commander of thousands or of hundreds, and the opportunity of getting back at Ahimelech, as he saw for detaining him before the Lord, he went and betrayed Ahimelech and David. In verse 7, we read of what he was aspiring to be a commander. In verse 9, we read that Doeg the Edomite, who stood by the servants of Saul, said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahinatub, and he inquired of the Lord for him and gave him provisions and gave him the sword of Goliath. So like one of those kids in primary school that's all too eager to get into the teacher's good books by telling what someone else has done wrong. And we see that as Doeg went forward, he became something of an antichrist. And we know that the antichrist in truth is coming forward. He will come forward in the end times in which we now live. But Doeg followed in the footsteps of Saul, followed in the footsteps of Jezebel, Pharaoh, Haman. These evil people would rise up. And we get a picture of Doeg in Psalm 52 as well. David said of him after this whole episode, he said, Your tongue, Doeg, plots destruction like a sharp razor, you worker of deceit. You love evil more than good and lying more than speaking what is right. You love all the words that devour, O deceitful tongue. So those of you who have been in business, you will have seen this. Often heard of firms, and I witnessed it sometimes in one or two of the firms where I worked, of people willing to do anything to get ahead, bribes, letting other people down, doing whatever they can, cheating just to get ahead. I know several teenagers, we had an evening a little while back, and some of the guys who were in guys-only schools would say, if they don't participate, or if they refuse to participate in pornography or dirty jokes, they're called nerds or homosexuals or alienated and pushed out. that there's this huge pressure to do whatever you can to fit in, to be accepted. And the political arena in which Dawood was moving, we saw just this last week, Augusto Pinochet. And I did not want to get into politics, but he was the type of person I would imagine who was similar to Dawood, who would do whatever he could. When he came into power, he filled a stadium with people who he tortured, killed, or sent into exile. And this is the type of person that we're dealing with. And we also must not think it's those people out there. What do we do? How do we try and look good? I think even within the church, often we try to fit in, do what's acceptable, do what's right, not step on people's toes. And so I believe this passage comes to us tonight saying, who are you seeking to please in your daily life? Are you seeking to please the Lord primarily? Or seeking to please people? Or is your allegiance divided, your commitment divided? And so we see the stark contrast between Doeg and Ahimelech. Ahimelech was a priest, and he was seeking primarily to be accepted by the Lord, whatever the cost. I see Ahimelech has been a type of Martin Luther. Some of you might have seen the movie or read church history. Martin Luther, it did not concern him that he would be rejected, that his life would be threatened. But he wanted to give the Lord his allegiance, whatever the cost. He put his life on the line. Ahimelech lived just northeast of Jerusalem in the town of Nob. And he was there primarily to inquire of the Lord for people, to perform the sacrifices of the Lord. We also read in church history of John Hooper. John Hooper was a man who stuck to his Protestant beliefs. Beliefs in that we are justified by faith, saved by believing in Jesus Christ and what he did for us in the cross. And he was a bishop of Gloucester. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. And all the other bishops in the early 16th century got together and called him in and said, you need to renounce these things. You need to toe the line. Come under the Pope. Stop trying to please someone else. You need to fit in and please the Pope. And he refused to do so, and he was burned at the stake, horrifically. There was a wind blowing, and the fire went out several times. They had to relight the fire. It took him 45 minutes to die in this fire. But it did not concern him. He continued just praying right through that, seeking to please the Lord. And so that's the radical allegiance that we're called to in Christ. Just been reading through the letters of the New Testament, through Acts, and then chronologically through the letters of the New Testament. I'm challenged by Paul's radical nature of his allegiance to Christ. In 2 Corinthians, we get this picture that he was not concerned with the acceptance of people. He just wanted to please the Lord. And so often we are caught up with, do people like us or do people not like us? What can I do to make people like us? Even in the way we worship God. And so we fear rejection. So often, that's at the top of our list. We do not want to be rejected by people. And so as we see acceptance in this passage, acceptance by people that Doeg was searching for, acceptance by the Lord, which Ahimelech was searching for, we see that for Ahimelech, being accepted by the Lord meant being rejected by people. And sometimes we'll find that in life, in our homes, in the places we live, the people we move with, the places we work with. Doeg was rejected because of his faith, honesty, and integrity. If we read through this passage, he gave a very credible defense of his dealings with David. He said, I didn't know that David was fleeing from you. David would often come and inquire of me. I did what any person would have done in my situation. But as an honest person, as someone with dignity, with integrity, he was getting in the way of Saul and of Doeg. They had their own ambitious intentions. And they were getting in the way. And Ahimelech, as a faithful priest, got in their way. Sometimes we will get in people's way in the work world, work life. Sometimes even in the church, like John Hooper and Martin Luther. And we need to continually reform, continually come back to the scriptures. We see John Bunyan also. He lived in a similar era to John Hooper, a little later. most famous for writing Pilgrim's Progress, one of the most widely distributed books ever. And he wrote this while he was in prison. He refused to stop preaching the gospel, to being a faithful preacher of the word. He wanted to be accepted by the Lord. He believed the Lord had given him a spiritual gift and he needed to use it. He was told, you can be free and go to your family if you just agree to not preach. And he stayed there for 12 years. He had a wife and children. One of his children were blind and they struggled to put food on the table. They were often reduced to begging. And he was desperately sad at this responsibility he had as a husband and as a father, that he was neglecting it. But he realized that he had an allegiance, that he needed to be accepted by the Lord first, and he could not deny his Lord. And so are you willing to be rejected and even hated because of your faithfulness to the Lord, faithfulness in serving the Lord? Are you seeking to please the Lord? And so often what people think of us is so important to us, becomes an obsession to us. But being rejected by people is not a great thing when we view it in the light of being rejected by the Lord. And we see Doeg, he thought he had all his ducks in a row. He thought he had everything planned. The slaughter of the priests, he thought it had got him into a good position. He trusted in the abundance of his possessions. He had his plans and his schemes. But we read that David wrote of him frightening words of those who seek to be primarily accepted by people. In Psalm 52, David wrote of Doeg, "But God will break you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, 'See the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction.' These are the works of his destruction." And so we're confronted here by the words of the Lord that we need to put our refuge in him, that we cannot put our refuge in continually seeking to be accepted by people. That there's a frightening future for those like Doeg who trust people, trust what people think of them. We need to come to Christ, surrender to him. A person who was similar to Doeg, Queen Mary, she's the one who was responsible for burning John Hooper at the stake. And when she came to be Queen of England, she promised to follow the teachings of the Protestants, to allow the church to grow, to allow those who preached from the scriptures faithfully. She promised to support them, and then she changed her mind and supported the Pope. She wanted the acceptance of the Pope primarily. And we read that no other king or queen or England spent King or Queen of England spilled as much blood in a time of peace as Queen Mary did in 4 years, killing hundreds of faithful Christians because they would not bow their knee to the Pope. But we also read that hearing her sighs before she died, as she approached her deathbed, some people were very concerned. Her counsel came around and said, "What's wrong? Are you worried about your husband? Are you sad that your husband has died?" And she said, "Yes, that is one cause. But," she says, "that is not the greatest wound that pierces my oppressed mind." As she went into her deathbed, she had an oppressed mind, realizing that something was not right. Something was horribly wrong. She may have been the queen of the land, had all this power, killed all these people. But as she left life and entered into eternity, she was rejected by the Lord. And so we need to realize that the Lord has a claim on our lives, that we need to bow our knees to him, that we need to seek acceptance by him, coming and asking him to save us by the finished work of Christ on the cross. And our hope is in seeking to please the Lord. And this is a joyous thing. It's a wonderful thing. It may result in people not liking us, people rejecting us, but that is secondary. God created us to find our joy in Him, to be satisfied in Him. And we need to seek to be faithful to Him. I think often we're preoccupied with acceptance and rejection. Will people like me? Will people not like me? Do people accept me for who I am? And we need to take a step back and say, am I accepted by the Lord? And if we have come, bowed our knees to Christ, asked Him to save us, not because of our righteous deeds, but because of what He's done on the cross, we are accepted by the Lord. We're not made perfect, but we're declared to be perfect. And so following that, we're called to faithfulness. Each one of us is called to be faithful to the Lord. That's what's meant to preoccupy our minds as we come and walk as Christians. Not whether we are liked or disliked by people, but just to be faithful to the Lord and realize that we're ultimately accountable to Him. Sometimes as we live our lives, it seems that the Lord has let us down. Can you imagine David as this one priest, Abiathar, came and he'd escaped? The whole town of Nob had been wiped out. And David could have thought, but where's the Lord? Is the Lord still in control? Has He let us down? What's happening? And it seems sometimes when we're faithful that things seem to fall apart. But as we come to this passage, we realize that in 1 Samuel chapter 2, the Lord had prophesied to Eli that He would wipe out all of His priests bar one. And so even in this horrific slaughter, the Lord was being faithful. The Lord was being faithful to His word. Eli was confronted and said, you love your sons more than me. And because of that, I'm going to wipe out the whole house of priests, bar one, such that he will cry out before me and rest in me. And so we see even in disasters like that, where almost the whole house of the Lord, those people who are allowed to inquire of the Lord, is wiped out. The Lord is faithful. And we're called to be faithful because He is faithful. Sometimes things don't make sense to us, but in the bigger picture, the Lord is faithful. And we see that even in the slaughter, God is faithful in keeping a remnant. Often we want to build the church. We rely on numbers. We rely on our efforts. Whether people like our church, whether people like our style of worship, whether people like us. It's a great danger for us as pastors. But the Lord will build His church. And in this situation, in order to build His church, in order for the Lord to show Himself as faithful to His people, He had to allow the slaughter of 85 priests and their families and infants, wives, all their animals. The Lord was showing Himself faithful in proving His word. And so it's useful for us in our society. Sometimes we see evil people seem to be succeeding. Evil people like Doeg, who seem like antichrists, haters of Christ. And people like Ahimelech, who are faithful people, seeking to live out their days just serving the Lord, are murdered. It doesn't make sense. It feels like the Lord has lost control. And often when the Lord's existence, let alone His faithfulness, is questioned, it just doesn't make sense. But we need to realize from passages like this that even in evil times, when evil people are prospering, the Lord is faithful. He is building His church. And so as David meets Abiathar, as he hears of this, and he feels responsible because he was the one that went to Ahimelech and hid his true intentions, that he was running from Saul. And David is confronted with this. His response is not, Lord, are you in control? Lord, where are you? How could you allow this? His response in Psalm 52 is, but I'm like a green olive tree in the house of the Lord. Green olive tree. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly. So even in evil times, God is good. God is faithful. And if only we will trust in Him, seek to gain our acceptance from Him, we will understand that He is faithful. And that we are green olive trees. Green olive trees. That greenness, speaking of sanctification, growing slowly in the Lord, under the Lord, Him giving us the air that we need. the light that we need, the sustenance that we need. And we are in the house of the Lord. And so we are called to be faithful, faithful to people, even in deep, dark and evil times. In 1 Thessalonians 2:4, speaking of believers, we read, "We have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. And so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts." And so each one of us this evening, our hearts are being tested by the Lord to see where does our allegiance lie. And perhaps you need to evaluate yourselves in terms of a percentage, 0 to 100. What percentage of your allegiance is to Christ? And what of yours, and to what extent are you seeking acceptance from people? We've been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please men, but to please God who tests our hearts. In Colossians 3, verse 22, we read, "Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service, as people pleases, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord." And that is how we're called to live out our days, not as I love this phrase, not by the way of eye service, pleasing people outwardly. It's a lovely phrase, eye service. Who are we serving? Those who look at us with their eyes, or those, that one, the Holy One, the one who creates us, who looks at our hearts? And are you living out your days with sincerity of heart? We're called to be faithful to people, but primarily faithful to the Lord. Ahimelech was faithful to the Lord, and in doing that, it flowed out to faithfulness to David, even if that meant that he was hated and ultimately died. So we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. And so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. And so is pleasing the Lord the primary goal of your life? Or is your priority to please people as you interact with them day to day? Let us pray. Lord God, your word exposes us, humbles us. And Lord, we come to you just wanting to see your name lifted up, Lord, that we would come to you with broken hearts, contrite hearts, that we'd not come with proud hearts, out of compulsion or out of habit to this worship service. Not coming such that people would say, "Oh, he's there, must be okay with him before the Lord, or okay with her before the Lord." Lord, we come because we want to be built up. And Lord, as you test our hearts even now, as we come around the Lord's table, remembering Jesus Christ, your life, death, burial, resurrection and ascension. So remember that you're now seated at the right hand of the Lord God, the creator of the universe, interceding for us, praying for us, that we might yield to you, that we might listen to your Holy Spirit as he convicts us of our sinful hearts, our wandering hearts. Lord, won't you test our hearts, expose them. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would respond. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to be singing a song together, Consuming Fire. Just looking at the Lord, the consuming fire, the great one, the holy one. Those who are assisting in the taking of the offering could, in the taking, the sharing of the Lord's table, they could come forward during the singing of the song.